everyone. Welcome to the Prep Zone podcast. I have here with me today Charlie Scott. Charlie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, man, it's so great. Now, I do want to ask a few things, but first, it was told me that you're the Batman of Staples.
Oh, boy.
Explain that to me, because Max Mears was the one that told me that. What is that all about?
Well, I, of course, Max Ferris said that. Love Max Ferris. But, yeah, I'm a big Batman fan. Uh-huh. The Batman was one of the movies that I first watched that really made me view film as more of like an art form versus more entertainment. I used to watch Marvel movies constantly, and I just would want to watch those big rainbow fight scenes, universe ending, whatever, superheroes. But then I watched The Batman. I was like, oh, okay. Film is actually something that
100%.
Can be art and make a difference. And I just love Batman. And, you know, obviously I'm partially joking, but I like to say, like, I am Batman. So,
yeah. Well, it's like I think you said about you work in the shadows.
Yes, right? Yes.
And that kind of leads me. Before I wanted to, so you talk about movies, though. I know that you had a big year last year, all the time, but you were awarded the John Drury Awards. You were the broadcaster of the year.
Yes.
Congratulations. That was
Thank
amazing.
Thank you.
Aside from that, you were also the best DJ of the year.
Yes.
And from that, you were second place as newscaster of the year. Another great one. And you got third place talk show with Henry Manning, The Real Revelations. That was a great show. I remember catching quite a lot of those. Because I'm a big movie buff.
Yes, so yes.
About that. And you got third place sportscaster with Elise, right? And Eisenberg.
Yes. Yeah.
So you guys did a lot of stuff together. I mean, your resume is extensive.
Thank you.
How fun was it, going through these 4 years and just going through all of it?
It was a lot of fun. I actually only got started the second semester of my sophomore year, believe it or not. I was very late to the radio TV club party. Yeah. But, you know, I was lucky enough to have great friends like Devin Jarvis and Zach Brody. And as you mentioned, Elise and Henry and Aiden Parnes. And they just helped me out so much. And it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a lot of fun.
The first time I saw you do anything was you used to be the broadcaster for the boys' soccer.
Yes.
Remember that? I think
yes,
it was sophomore year, wasn't it?
I think sophomore year was my first year. I think it was the Ridgefield game. It was like September 7th or 8th or something of my sophomore year. And it was Staples versus Ridgefield, home at Loeffler. And I actually just, because I'm backing up my school Google Drive right now. Because it gets terminated or whatever coming soon. And I was looking back and I watched that first Ridgefield game, like the first 5 seconds. I barely talked in that whole broadcast. I left it to the two adults that I was doing it with. And I just said, I'm here and I'll talk on occasion.
Yeah, but you did a good job. I specifically remember that. I'm like, oh, he's got something going here, right? Because you're like, but that's the thing about broadcast, right? It's about letting, sometimes just being quiet is the best thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, something that Mr. Heider especially harps on with the play-by-play versus the color is, half of being a good play-by-play person is shutting up and letting your color commentator cook what they need to cook. So, yeah.
And how good is Mr. Heider in the program Staples, man?
It's impossible to describe how vital he is, and also just how much he's changed me and how much he's changed so many of his other students in the program. I think something that he said when he won Station Advisor of the Year at the Drury Awards, he said, I think he was partially lying when he said this, but he went up and he said, I've never had chocolate. That was the opening to his speech. And then he asked someone, some random person from some random other school in the audience, like, can you describe to me what chocolate tastes like? And then they said, no, because you can't really describe what chocolate tastes like, because it's good, it's sweet, it's tasty, but you can't pinpoint it. And I think that's the perfect way to not only describe the program and the fun we have there, but to describe the effect that he's had on his students and just the program itself.
No, I totally agree. And that's a really cool thing that he just said. Yeah. Describe chocolate. I was thinking, can I describe chocolate?
Yeah.
I don't think I can.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I have it all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's just a thing. And, you know, and you saying that, I know my older son went through his program, you know, and my younger one.
Yeah.
But absolutely, everybody loves it at Staples.
Yes.
And I see him around a lot of after school hours, like with you guys and all that.
100%. Right? Yeah. And really, I think it's so, I don't know what I was going to say. I kind of lost my train of thought there. But yes, he spends a lot of time with us in the studio late hours. Like when we were prepping for the Drury Awards, it was 10 p.m. nights for like 5 or 6 nights straight. Maybe even one that was like a midnight night where it's literally, it's 12:01. We're walking out of the doors of the studio. Like he's very dedicated and he's done so much for the program.
I always feel like stuff like that comes back, right? I mean, he puts that time and you guys just produce great stuff all the time.
100%. Yeah.
And now shifting gears, you know, we're both in broadcasting and
yeah.
It's like we're always in the background of things, but how great has it been this last few years, all this championship is in you covering them? From a fan experience and being on the field, how great has it been for you?
It's been awesome. I mean, there's been – Staples is just a powerhouse of athletics, not only in the FCAC but in the state. Like, I think I saw a tweet recently from Coach Maddie or whoever runs the Staples football account, and it was just saying how many championship games the Wreckers have been in. And it's like upwards of like 15, 16 championship games. And the fact that that's been the thing in the past 3 years that I've been, you know, doing media is just crazy. So I'm very lucky that I've had as many opportunities as I've had to, you know, film and call these games. But being on the sideline for these huge games, it's just awesome.
It really is, right? I mean, I've really enjoyed it. I've been doing it for a year. Like, you've been doing it for four, so it's amazing.
Yeah.
Is there a moment or a game? I know it's really hard to pinpoint one, but is there a moment that that's really sticks to your mind?
Definitely the football state championship. Lacrosse is awesome, but after beating New Canaan 11-4, I knew we were going to win lacrosse. So that one was slightly less special.
Yeah.
But the football one, I was nervous all day because I wanted to make that video so bad, and West Haven lines up with the 2-point conversion, and I'm just sitting. I was on the opposite sideline, of course, unluckily. Like, yeah. Of course, the one play that I need to capture, I'm on the other sideline. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, please just don't let them score it. And then when they stop it, it was just, it was amazing.
It really was. Yeah. So, funny story that Mr. Thomas got the famous picture.
Yes.
I was the first person he showed it to.
Yeah.
He goes, I got it. And he turned to me, I'm like, yes, you did. Now, I was right there to have the opportunity, but I was involved in the moment. But it was so cool that the principal of the school got that moment, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't it like things just work out for a reason, right?
Yeah,
and definitely. I mean, the whole thing around that game, you know, and Max like missing extra point and making the tackle. It was Hollywood ending. Everything about it was, right?
Definitely.
And you're like being a lover of Hollywood and all that. If you look back on that season and everything we've had, I want to say this last 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? Is there like something that you can pinpoint to that, you know, from being, because you're inside the school, right? I think the big difference between you and Isaac, you live with these guys every day, right? You go, you walk in the halls, you're doing that. Is it any different covering them, having the tight relationship or not, or anything?
Well, it's definitely, you know, like you said, I kind of like to live in the shadows. like the Batman thing. So it's definitely interesting, like walking through the halls and then, you know, you see Smitty and he daps you up and say, dude, that edit made me cry last night or something. And I'm just like, yeah, like, thank you. And yeah, that's the point of it, is so that the Staples students can enjoy it. I'm trying to think, like, it's nice to, hold on. I'm trying to find the words, but, you know, It's nice to be in the school because it definitely helps you feel a lot more connected to the players when I'm sitting next to Smitty in TV and he's watching his game film as I'm sitting next to him and I'm asking him questions. I'm like, hey, who's their guy? When I'm on the broadcast, I can text Smitty and be like, hey, who's the defensive guy that I got to shout out on the broadcast on the other team to look out for in this game? And just being friends with the players helps out a ton when you're creating the media. I think that's the words that I was trying to look for so long.
It's all about access, right? I mean, it's about like, and the people will trust you with the information that you're like, you're not going to say, oh, he told me that. No, you're just going to broadcast. You're going to enhance the experience of whoever's listening and watching, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned the football championship. Obviously, the play sticks out. Anything else in the game that, I'll tell you my story, but you tell me your story first. You were in the locker room with them before the game.
Yes, I was not only in the locker room with them like minutes before game time, I was in the locker room with them the whole day. I wanted to ride the bus with them and stick with them for the entire game, but just because of like contracts and safety stuff, I couldn't. But I was in the locker room at 11 a.m. before the day, like the Staples locker room. I was with them as they were watching our film, having their meeting. And then I drove up on my own to a root field, but I was there with them for the 2 hours before the game, and I was just able to essentially be with the team the entire day, filming them, talking with the players. And that was really special because, not like you said, like the access was great, but also I just got some really nice footage, you know, being in the locker room with the team. So
it was right. So for me, I'll tell you what at halftime, we were down at halftime.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I was right there on the field, and I sat in that tent they have. Right. So we're just catching a break, so stand up. So my wife and I are sitting there, and Brian's somewhere off. And Coach Behrens comes up, and he just sits right next to us. He goes, "Hey, how you guys doing?"
Right.
I just felt like it's like, okay, you're like probably the biggest game of the year. And he just comes and sits down and just like, he has a casual conversation that it just shows you, like, I guess and I'm sure you feel this, like, just the normal, how everybody is at Staples and how they treat everyone so great, right?
Yes. It's like another story, different from football, obviously, but lacrosse, like, Coach K is like, as I'm walking off the Wilton FCAC game where Staples had a great game, and I'm walking off after my camera, I just say, like, "See you, Coach, thank you. Like, thank you for letting me film," stuff like that. And he's like, "Do you have a Staples lacrosse t-shirt yet?" And I'm like, "No, I do not." And he's like, "All right, come to the coach's office Monday after school. I'll hook you up." And then, you know, he obviously got me nice with the t-shirt. And he gave me another one. So it's like, really, although I'm obviously not on the team, they really do make me feel like I'm a part of the community. And it's just so, I'm so grateful for that and for them to, like, be so welcoming to me and you and everyone, all the media kids at Staples. It's really nice.
It really is. Like, with him, my story is, like, after, I think it was the second, third game, and I was still learning lacrosse. I didn't know lacrosse that great. And I did an interview with him, and I'm walking off the field, and I'm asking him, like, very trivial question. What does that guy have a longer stick? Right?
Yeah.
Things like that.
Right.
And he's just, like, talking to me, explaining the game to me. And I'm like,
of course,
right? I mean, this is, like, this is stuff that I guess we only get with the home media.
Right.
Right? I mean, and I think.
Definitely.
And as we, you know, talk a little bit bigger about broadcasting, we have, you know, you're way younger than I am. But I grew up in the Mike and the Mad Dog area, whichever team had, like, a little guy who followed them around. Right.
Yeah.
And that made the coverage so much better. And that's what I feel like your coverage is like, because you stick to Staples.
Yeah.
Right? And then you do the things for the teams. And like you said, all that. Has there been a point where you stopped and said, "Hey, you know, this, a lot of what I do here is because I know these people, and how does that enhance your coverage?"
Absolutely. Like, definitely. I've essentially only done Staples, and the only other team I've done within this year was Canterbury Hockey, which is just because I have a really close family friend who plays there, and he's really good. He's committed to Sacred Heart. Shout out Ryan. I don't know if he'll be listening or not, but
now he will.
Yeah, now he will. But yeah, I've just kind of stuck with Staples because not that anyone would judge me if I didn't, but I feel like if I post, like, a Darien lacrosse video on my page, that's a little, I feel like this, my Staples play, my, not to say I have loyal Staples followers, but some of my friends that are on the Staples teams are going to be like, "Darien lacrosse, like, really?" Like, I don't know. That's kind of how I felt. And obviously, if I'm getting paid, it's a little different, but yeah.
No, I 100% like me. Like, you can, it'd be like you're showing up to Darien with a little Staples lacrosse shirt. Yeah,
exactly.
Guys.
Right,
be like,
right.
I mean, we experienced the Greenwich rivalry on the Thanksgiving,
yes.
But they didn't let you guys up.
That was rough. That was ridiculous.
I remember that day, and I remember Mr. Farnan coming to me and having some, you know, very colorful words, you know. But the thing is, like, I think that rivalry kind of makes it all better when you win, right? I mean, you want to beat your friends. You want to kind of do the people right?
Right.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the real revelations that you guys did.
Yeah.
In movies. So I thought that was a very cool idea and a great show. How did that story about all that come around?
Well, me and Henry are both artists in our own right. We, not to say more so than anyone else in the studios of 70 North, but the studios of 70 North is kind of a more, obviously not entirely, but more of a sports-based surroundings and club. Like, we have the cleanup crews and we do the sports calling games, so there isn't too much of the more artistic stuff that's going on. And for the Drury Awards, we needed a show and we needed something to submit. And we just thought, let's just talk movies. We both know enough about it. Let's just get it done. And we just started, you know, just talking.
Started talking. Now, what's your favorite all-time movie? Do you have one?
Well, you know, that depends.
Or genre?
That depends. I don't have a favorite genre. I like any kind of movie. I'll watch whatever. But My favorite movie specifically depends on the weather. It depends on what I'm doing at the time. You know, but if I had to pick three, I'll give you three. I would say Christopher Nolan's Tenet, Baby Driver. I love the editing in Baby Driver, on the beat music. Highly recommend. And then La La Land. So
okay, so yes, like, oh, the classic.
Very, yeah, yeah. Very much all across the spectrum, but very. I just really enjoy those movies.
So when you look at the movies, I mean, obviously being your artistic background, everything you have, what draws you to a movie?
Yes. So it's a great question. And I would say that I put thinking after the movie as like one of my number one things that I look at when I finish a movie. When I finish a movie, when that screen fades to black, it says directed by whoever. My number one thing is like, how much am I thinking right now? Like, do I have to think to understand it? And obviously Baby Driver is not one where it's like, you have to think to understand it, but it's a lot of fun. Anyways, Christopher Nolan's Tenet, if you don't watch it three times, you're not going to understand it. And that is just so fun to me. And the fact that somebody like Christopher Nolan can create something so intricate and complex like Tenet, where literally you watch YouTube videos of these professional movie critics and they're like, I have no idea what I just watched. And to be able to watch it three times and then say, oh, wait, that lines up with this and this goes here and all that. It's just it's a lot of fun when you have to think about the movie after you finished it and you wake up the next morning and you're like, wow, I'm still thinking about how Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone did not end up together in La La Land. And right. I think that's definitely one of my bigger factors.
I totally agree. I'm the same way. Like sometimes what I love, like let's say I finish watch something, I have to go read about it.
Yes, definitely. Right? Like I'll watch the, Tenet explained ending videos the second I close the movie. Yeah.
Inception, I had to read about it a few times to understand it, what happened there, right? Because it went through. But I'll also, you know, and I look at that, you know, it's funny you brought it up. To me, it has to do, because I obviously love movies, but I've been getting serious more and more. Everybody's been doing that. So a couple of things that I think ties nice together, like think of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
I love Breaking Bad. Right? I haven't seen Better Call Saul.
You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I really want to. Once I get the time this summer, I'm going to start watching more shows.
So you have to, and what I'll say is there will be a point where you're going to have to. Everything ties together.
Yeah.
On that scene, which you've seen Breaking Bad, so I'm not spoiling for you, but that scene where Walt and Jesse meet Saul for the first time. Remember that scene where he's in a van? They take him out to a desert.
Yep.
And he's coughing. And take your mask off.
Or Give me a dollar. Right. So I have the legal
that
rights.
That scene is the scene that ties everything together. So my oldest son just finished Better Call Saul, and I said, "You want to see how a genius Vince Gilligan is? So go back and watch this scene on YouTube."
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh my god!" Right? Because it just like.
Yep.
So to your point, like after I watched both, I'm like, "There you go. There's the thing."
Right.
So he's thinking about this way ahead of anybody. Yeah. Right. I mean, genius.
Yeah. It is the. I can only aspire to be as creative and as good of writing as that. And that's definitely one of my goals, is to create such a complex story like that at some point in my life. Yeah.
So you love movies. So what is, and before we do that, you have to tell the story of your college acceptance, because to me.
Oh, yes.
To me, I mean, you and I had that conversation at Darien, right?
Yes.
Remember that we were talking, that rainy game over there, lacrosse game.
Yeah.
And you told me the story. That story stuck with me. So. Tell everyone about what happened, your college application, everything that went through.
So, obviously, it starts out pretty normal. You know, I don't think sending in 12 college applications is normal at all. But, you know, it's standard for here and Staples and Westport, whatever. I sent out my applications, had some media in them. I was lucky enough to get into most of my schools. University of Texas and University of Southern California, USC. Those are the two that I didn't get into that I really wanted to get into. And University of Texas had the option to send in an appeals letter to appeal your admissions decision. My admissions decision was a rejection, and I wasn't pleased with it. Obviously, you know, what happens happens, but I sent in an appeals letter, and I said in the letter just things like, you know, I really want to come here, and I love the school. I think I will make a lot of media for the school, for the sports teams, for the programs, and I think I will make the school better. And came back about a month later, and I ended up getting into University of Texas. So I was very lucky to have that happen. Yeah.
I think, like, and I have not heard that you were the first person, and I don't, maybe it's happened somewhere, but the first person that, like, guy rejects, like, eh, I'm not taking this, no.
Yeah.
I'm going after this because it's what I want, right? I mean, it's a story of resilience, right?
Definitely.
Has it always been like that for you?
Yeah, sure. I'll say yeah. I mean, you know, living in such a great town like this, it's, I feel hesitant to say yes to the resilience because, you know, I'm so lucky to have the program at Staples, the studios there, and having Mr. Heider there, and just everything that's there, the technology that's there, and even where we are right here, the Westport Library, like, to come in here and have these professional level editing suites is just, it's so awesome. But then it comes to the point where you kind of have to use those to your advantage, and you have to put in the work to learn how to use this equipment and learn how to do this and learn how to do that. And while very lucky to have this place, you know, you gotta lock in a bit.
Couldn't agree more, because it's like, it's like you think about, like, the opportunities that you have, pretty much everyone kind of has at school. Some take advantage of it, some don't.
Right.
And it's, and people do different things. And I'm, and
absolutely. There's so much, Staples has so much to offer, from players, sports, whatever.
I learned that there's a fencing team at Staples.
yes.
I was like, okay, that's new. What public school has a fencing team?
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Never covered the fencing team, neither have I. We have to cover it at some point. But it's been really cool. But yeah, that story to me was like, and so we were talking about, before we told the story of college, right? I kind of lost where we were, but we'll get back there in a few minutes. But, you know, I felt like this, especially this past year, being, we covered so many events, right, that have been, and you mentioned about that. Is there like a, maybe like a cool, I don't know if you share like a cool background story. First of all, you said about you being on the bus and the day with the guys, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that happened this year that, I guess a memory that's going to stick with you, and it, and maybe it's not like, you know, the attack, whatever, but it's like maybe a little moment that really stuck with you, what somebody did.
I think another example kind of relates to what you were saying about Coach Behrens and the football game. I can go back to there too, because I was very lucky that Staples was welcoming me on their sideline for the game. And, you know, you kind of, I'm kind of under the mindset sometimes where, ask for forgiveness, not permission. So sometimes a little bit overstep the boundary. And if I get yelled at, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, whatever. But for the Staples state championship football game, I was on the sideline and I was pretty close to the field. And I was filming, and it was Sam Petrosino's long, like, 50-plus yard catch, whatever it
Remember
was.
That one, yeah?
Yes, that one amazing catch.
From the end long.
Yes, from the end zone all the way down, like, 75 yards, whatever. And I was on the sideline, and I'm sitting there, I'm filming, the play happens, Coach Behrens books it down the sideline. He's like, hey, get out of the way, man, get out of the way. And I'm like, oh God. And so I, like, you know, I step back, and then he kind of sees me, you, like, rush back, and then he pats me on the back. He's like, no, not you, Charlie. You're the man, Charlie. You're the man. Because he was yelling at the ref to get out of the way. And that just, I don't know. I have the clip of it. Like, he's like, in his face is in the camera. And he's like, no, not you, Charlie. Not you, Charlie. So
how come we haven't seen that clip yet?
I don't know. I just never ended up posting it. And I cut it from the final edit. But I don't know. That's definitely a moment that'll stick to me. Just because Coach Behrens is, he's such a great guy. And Coach K, like, all the Staples coaches, they're such great people.
And that's one thing that I've learned with this podcast, like, you know, when you get to know the people.
Yes.
Right? Because a lot of time it's like, it's, my dad had a great line to me, says, so it's, but like, hate's the wrong word, but like he said, you know, it's very hard to hate up close. So the idea is, when you get to know the people,
yeah,
you understand, they're not trying to lose games, they're trying to win games, right? Everyone is trying to do their best.
Yeah.
It really is, right? And I remember where we were going before that was, I was going to ask you, like, you mentioned about writing and film editing. I know you've done a short film.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It was very cool. The beach, right? It was very nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But is that, what do you see as your next step? Are you going to be broadcasting, filming? Where are we going to see Charlie next?
Yes. So, well, for starters, next year, although I got into Texas, I ended up touring the campus, and I wasn't as much of a fan as I thought I would be. So I'm actually going to be going to Syracuse University.
Oh, congratulations. Great.
Thank you. Yeah, Newhouse. Public school communications there. So that's where you'll see some of my content being made in the future. But back to the media question, I really have no idea what I want to do, whether it be the broadcasting, whether it be the sports filmmaking, or whether it be the narrative filmmaking. I want to try to keep as many of those doors open as possible, because I enjoy them all so, so much. And I think the easiest one where you'll probably see me first is hopefully filming some sports games at Syracuse. That's probably where you'll see me first, but hopefully down the line I can start to focus more on maybe, because I think narrative film is one of the areas where I don't have as much experience as I do the other two. So I think doing some more of that in college and maybe over the summer as well would be great. But definitely you'll see me hopefully on the sidelines of the Syracuse sports teams. Yeah,
that'll be really cool, right? I mean, it's we had some great grads. I mean, Zach's doing a major league game, so I'm at the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Devin's been amazing, everything he's doing. Yes. He's got a show, yeah, TV and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, it's a great jump start, right? And but you mentioned, I mean, your love for movies is something I really think, like, when you listen to someone talk about something, that passion comes up, right?
It is
bursting out of them, right? So you mentioned movies and things like that. Is this something you want to do at some point, like do movies and you mentioned narratives and things, but
yeah,
is that like an industry that you want to really get into?
Well, you know, when people always ask me like what my dream job is, I say my number one dream job is absolutely Christopher Nolan, movie director. Like, dealing with the actors, writing the movie, getting out into the whatever New Mexico desert, filming the movie, that is number one choice. However, I'm somewhat realist, and I know that, not to say it's not possible, because it absolutely is, but it's definitely rare, and it's definitely difficult, and it's going to be competitive to do so. And I don't doubt that I can, but yeah, and I haven't done enough of it so far to get there. But
yeah, but the thing is that people always say, like, if your dreams don't scare you, you're not dreaming big enough.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it has to be something like, man, this is a reach. You have to go for it because, like, you know, you shoot for the moon and catch stars. I mean, the whole saying. It's like,
yes.
It's like,
yeah.
So you have to do all that, right?
Definitely.
And I think it's so cool. And I totally agree with you. Like, it's an art form. Now, I want to ask you about your opinion on this. Maybe you have. Did you see the Netflix show Kaleidoscope?
I did not, but I heard interesting reviews on it on TikTok, and they weren't totally positive, but I also think my dad watched it, but I heard about it. I haven't seen it though.
So the whole mentality of that show is, it's like, there's no like sequence of the episodes. So every time you watch it, it's a different outcome. Hmm. Now I can't explain you how they do it, but they do it. So you being like a movie buff, like I am. So it's like, you can start like how they send them out, and they exchange one episode and the outcome exchanges. Remember when, like, back in the day, they used to have the books? I mean, you're not going to remember, but anyway. When I was in high school, they came out with these books that you chose your ending.
Yes, and I know of a lot of video games that are like that, too.
Like that, right?
The Telltale games, right, yeah.
So this show, to me, it's like I said, didn't get a lot of press. A lot of people thought it was bad. But what I loved about it is the fact that I've seen it about 6 times now, and every time I think a different person did it. So to me, it's like really groundbreaking to think about. It's the same thing over and over. You change the order of the episodes and the outcome changes.
Right.
I can't understand how that is done.
Yeah.
Right. To your point, that's kind of the thing that I think it catches people like yourself that love it and want to do something different.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of, I don't know, this is kind of related, kind of not, but like with Inception, I know you talked about Inception earlier, but a lot of people always argue on the internet like, oh, Inception, like, Was he in the real world at the end when he spun the top or not? I'm of the belief that it doesn't matter, because he learned that your reality is what you choose. You choose your reality. He saw his kids. He didn't care if he was in reality or not. He chose it, and that's all that matters.
Now, so you mentioned reality, so I have to bring this up to you. Did you, there was a show, I can't remember the media platform, but it was a show about they would go into this resort, right? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, the idea was this woman, which is Nicole Kidman, was played by Nicole Kidman, and she was like, it was a pretty huge people on there. The idea was like, she would somehow give them some kind of drug. So the story that caught me was this. So it was a family that came in, and they had lost one of their kids. So she made it somehow to where their kid could come alive in their minds.
Huh, okay.
So you mentioned reality, right?
Yeah.
So our reality we live.
Mm-hmm.
So the mom was like, you know, the dad was reluctant. And the mom was like, well, if I can make a world where my kid is here, that's my reality. That's where I want to live in.
Yes.
Regardless, it's not a reality.
Right,
so to your point,
right.
Movies play in that sense, don't it, in our minds?
Yes.
I mean, right? I mean, just think about how that goes. So it's like, let's just put our thinking caps on. If you could make your reality or the real reality to Inception, I mean, what would you choose?
Wait, rephrase the question.
We were talking Inception, right? Let's say that you have your reality, and I know we're getting way off the sports, but I love where we're going.
Yeah.
If we talk about, you know, here's my reality, and I don't like it.
Right.
But someone offers you an alter reality that maybe not be your reality, but you live in that reality in your mind.
Yes.
Who are we to say that it's wrong?
Yes. I agree, and I think it's very, very philosophical, and there's got to be some philosophy major out there that can, determine the ethics major, philosophy major. Yeah. But yes, it's absolutely a mind twister, and like not only Cobb at the end of Inception spinning the top, but when they go to Asia, and they go into this basement with the guy that makes the dream serum or whatever. You go into the basement, and he just has hundreds of people just sleeping at like just forever. Forever. They don't care. They enjoy the dream. They want to stay there. And that's, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. Yeah.
It's like, and I think, and that's why you talk about art form in movies, right? I always looked at movies like for a couple hours, you kind of escape your reality and you live with those things.
100%. Right. Definitely. Yes.
And that's why you mentioned about, it's like, this is so cool. Like that's a media form can do that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Just think about how cool that whole thing is.
Yeah.
And so as you look into, I guess, everything that you've done, media, was there something that like was really dear and near to your heart? And you say, this is kind of my best work.
Well, if I were to say my best work, I think I improve with each new thing that comes out. So it's very hard to say what my best work per se is, because I enjoy doing the next video. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then the next video, I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
Better,
it just keeps going. But it's, I had an answer for this, but I'm trying to think. I gotta say that the work that I enjoyed doing the most, I know it's kind of what I already said, but I'd say it's my most recent reel. Just because it just really felt like the song that I had chosen. It was the perfect closer to my Staples filming experience. Cool. And, it was just a lot of fun to edit. And, you know, I was editing it and I was like, wow, that's a great play. Like Klacko, what a three or whatever. And then it's like, wow, what a blast.
Together, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And, so yeah, I'd say that one was definitely a lot of fun just because it was such a big culmination. I mean, every video is a culmination of the videos that come before it, but that one, just especially because I'm going back to footage that I shot 8 months ago, and I'm trying to use it because I have new editing styles now, and I have new organization, and then now I'm adding that into this new video, so it's like, it was definitely a lot of fun to make that
one. You ever go back, the first thing you did, it's like, oh my God.
Oh, absolutely. If anyone's listening, they want to check it out. My first YouTube video is still up on my YouTube channel. So if you go to Charlie33 and scroll all the way down, it's me in fifth grade. I'm with Avery and Jaden Mueller. They were my neighbors and we're doing trick shots, Dude Perfect style in the backyard. So yeah, if you guys want to find that.
That was the first thing you did, right?
Yes, it was the first thing I did.
Because
yeah.
Like the other day I was watching, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you know the story of Matt Wallace. So he started his podcast because of COVID. He'd go into his car.
Right.
Right. And he would basically turn on his phone in his car, parked, and he would like rant about whatever he wanted to do, right? And then people started listening.
Yeah.
So then first time he got a studio, you know, somebody was going to actually put money. And he goes, well, can I go to a real studio? And he goes, no, we like the look. He goes, you couldn't possibly like that look.
Yeah. Right? No, but it's, and yeah, you finished. Sorry.
No, that's exactly, okay, that was it. Okay. That was good.
But yeah, something that Mr. Heider said, he always does a final radio show with the seniors before they graduate, and he never comes on air. That's the only time he comes on air each year is when the seniors have their last day of school. And one of the things he came on and said is 2024 is the year and the rise of something that he called the microculture. So it's like these little bubbles of content and these little bubbles of people that are going to be more successful in the coming years, because like YouTube is becoming commercialized. You have literal shows on YouTube. Like, you can watch an entire show and they are making so much money from that. I love Mr. Beast, but he's not part of the reason, but he's an example of YouTube being commercialized. He makes so much money. He does so much ads, and it's great because he actually gives some of that money back to people. But, and I think something that he said that a lot connects to what you said is, it's about these little tiny pockets of stuff that's all scattered around. And I think being in the car is a perfect example of that. People want the authenticity and the genuineness of sitting in your car and filming your rants instead of being in a high quality production studio like you would see on TV. They want a change, and they want something that feels like more personal and connected. So yeah,
I couldn't agree more. And that's like, so it's one of the things, you know, ever, sometimes people ask me for prep zone, right? I say, listen, Here's the thing. People are consuming media in a very different way, right? Think about how much do we watch broadcast TV? Very little.
Yeah.
Sports, right? I mean, that's more sports than news. That's
sports,
what people do.
Right. Yep.
You're not sitting there through commercials anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody watches sitcoms. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Think about, I mean, you were way young, but Friends. When Friends come on, I remember Friends, and now I'd have to sit through commercials. Like, I'd had to be in front of my TV every Wednesday at 8. I mean, right? When Sopranos came out, Sopranos was on HBO, you had to be there at 9 o'clock, because if you didn't watch that show on Sunday at 9, you weren't going to get it anywhere else.
Right.
Now it doesn't matter. I can turn on my phone. I can see a million movies. Media has become like that. Makes it easy for everyone to get their stuff out.
Yes.
But it also, it kind of like, again, it becomes very personal. Like, for example, think about, you know, and people, a lot of people ask me about prep zone. It's like, are we going to go somewhere else? I'm like, well, I don't know. But the point is, the idea is that, you know, a Staples person, like, you're leaving Staples.
Yes.
So you're still going to be able to follow every, like all the juniors this year, like, you know, you're going to still be able to go on. So you might like say, okay, this is, if I want to know about Staples, this is where I go.
Exactly.
I don't have to sit through all this stuff.
Yeah. So you've done so good this year with everything that you guys have done. It's awesome. Yeah.
So you think what he said, when you were saying that, I almost like got chills. I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's all micro.
Yes.
You're not going to go sit through, you're going to go right to the channel that
measures
you. So how does that change, like, as you look at, okay, so I'm getting to this business. Have you thought about that at all?
Thought about what?
You know, like the micro, am I going to specialize on something, or am I going to be like abroad? Like, you're going to Syracuse. So you're going to obviously be Syracuse.
Yes. And Syracuse is a big pond with a lot of big fish, especially in the media. Like, Newhouse is going to be, it's going to be very competitive. It's going to be hard to get started there. But, and that's definitely something that I've certainly thought a lot about since that conversation with Mr. Hyder. Like the dream job for anyone in sports media is to work at ESPN.
Right.
But then you think about it, and you think about what Mr. Hyder said, like, ESPN's great, but not how much of a difference are you going to be making, but how this kind of ties back. Let me restart.
Go ahead.
Something with the Batman thing that I say a lot is Batman, his goal is to help the people of Gotham. And, he not only does he do that for the people of Gotham, he also does it for himself. And part of the thing that I enjoy is I just enjoy being creative and doing my own thing and having that freedom. And I think tying back to your dream job, if you're in the sports media industry, is to go and work for ESPN. But if you're working for ESPN, I would love to work at ESPN, don't get me wrong, but when your dream, like, the dream job is ESPN, but you almost don't have as much creative freedom, and you almost don't get to connect to people on the personal level, like, I don't know, Batman would. And I think that's definitely something that I thought a lot about, just kind of as I think about future career paths and what I want to do.
Yeah, but because it's like, look at the micro, right? So if you're just another voice, right, that's just like getting drowned in, I think, like, back to the one thing that I admire about your work is that the authenticity of it, right? So there's not a lot of people doing it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know what I mean? So it's like, I always look at something, okay, so am I filling a void? Right?
Is this,
but now it might be, and I had that, so I had the interns, right? And some of them want to do different things again on camera. So anytime you put yourself out there, you have to be open to rejection.
Absolutely.
Right? Because, I mean, you're doing all this stuff, and you didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah, definitely not. I filmed that first Thanksgiving football game, and I was just like, "Yeah, we'll see." But it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
it could have gone the other way, but it went the right way. Thank God, So when you put yourself out there, you don't know if people are going to like you.
Absolutely,
people are going to take to you, right? Has that ever crossed your minds? Like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm putting myself out there. Obviously, worked really well for you, but has it been? I mean, I know I have haters. You might have haters. It doesn't matter. But like, how do you mentally prepare yourself for all that stuff?
Well, when I was doing my college application process, you know, for the film schools that I applied to, you have to write a lot of supplemental essays, and Mr. Heider helped me out a lot with those supplemental essays. And one of the things he said to me that really, really stuck with me is the price of creating art is sharing it. So meaning Da Vinci, he could have painted all he wanted. If he kept it in his basement, who cares? People, like, if he was too scared to release it, we wouldn't have what we have with Da Vinci today. And I think that's such a huge part. And I know a lot of Staples guys who will go to games and they'll film their stuff and they'll make the edit and then they'll just leave it in their camera roll sitting, like, not rotting, but and I understand where they're coming from. They got to practice their skills. They got to fine tune it, but you got to post it so that you can get your feedback, so that you can learn. And the price of creating art is sharing it is what I would say to that.
100%. Cause I go back when I was talking to you about, you know, the first thing you did, I go back and look at the first morning walk I did. I'm like, oh my God, this is not good. Yep, but people watch it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and then now it's like, it's totally different. Like, you know, the first interview was like, there's three questions. They were kind of the same questions over and over. But you, like you said, you get better as you do the stuff. And the only way to do it is just keep trying. Keep trying new things and putting yourself out there.
Yeah. And something that you mentioned earlier with finding like a niche and finding like the void is that, when I look at like sports media on my Instagram and on the TV, is that, and not to dump on sports media, it's an industry I want to go into. I love it so much, but I don't see too much creativity in the sports media. You see your pregame edits and you see your, you know, your postgame edits, whatever, you see your recaps, but a lot of that is more journalistic to me when I look at it. And a team that has done such an amazing job with becoming more creative is the Celtics. I don't know if you've seen what they've done, but like scrolling through the Celtics Instagram page versus scrolling, I'm a Knicks fan and I'm saying this, versus scrolling through the Knicks Instagram page.
For that. Yeah.
Before scrolling through the Knicks Instagram page, the difference is insane. And it's just so cool to see the Celtics actually posting creative stuff, like really artistic stuff, and it's still getting the views and getting people as hyped for the games as your typical journalistic with your rock music and your you know, highlights would. And that is definitely somewhere what I'm thinking about. You know, if there's a space for me to be more creative within a sports team and not have that journalistic aspect to it, that would be incredible.
Yeah, because with you, like, I think being authentic is about everything, right? It's like people can relate to you. Not everyone's going to relate to you, but some people will, right? And you find that right place to be. And that's because, again, that would be what differentiates you. And that's what I thought that, you know, and I was thinking about, you know, having you on. I'm like, well, everything he does is just so different, right? Because, I mean, and you seem to be like right at the right time, in the right spot every moment.
Oh, of course. I mean, I've been so lucky. Like I said in my reel, just to cut you off real quick, I said in my reel, I said in the caption, and I truly, truly, truly mean this, my edits are only as good as the players that are in them. And I've been gifted so many opportunities from Staples Athletics between Max Murillo making that stop, Adam Dell hitting that goal, whatever it may be, Avery Mueller doing a backflip to score a goal. Like seriously, whatever it may be, I've been so lucky. But yeah, as you're saying, like,
no, it's right. Because it's like one thing that I know, and it's like it changed from you when I got into this. And I'm just for you, it's like we kind of really want these guys to win because we want stuff to do.
Yes, yes.
We get over there, we want them to win so
that's,
bad.
That's half the reason. Like half of it is these are my friends and I want them to win. I want them to get that ring. But the other half is like, God, I want to make that edit so bad.
Give
like,
me another game to go
yes,
to, right?
Exactly,
give me another
exactly,
game to cover.
Exactly,
please
absolutely.
Win, right? And when the seasons are over, you feel almost like you hurt with them.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's like...
Well, when basketball lost, like, that was rough because not only did they lose and I had the edit planned, I had the song ready, I had my effects, I was like, I was so ready. I had it, like, in my mind, I was like, please just win so I can make this. And then,
talking about the FCAC, right? The FCAC.
Yes, Trumbull versus Trumbull. Yeah. And not only that, but our broadcast had troubles because the Wilton Wi-Fi was so horrible that we couldn't connect back to the studio to go live and just all these things. And I went home and I was just like, damn, man.
I know.
That was rough. That was rough.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I know, like, it didn't change because, you know, I've got kids in Staples, so Staples, you know, Staples blood.
Yeah.
But, like, I look at, you know, now when I look at the sportscast, especially, like, you know, the Yankees guys, the Knicks guys, like, they're really rooting for these guys to win. Like,
oh, absolutely. It's like, and yeah, yeah.
No, no, go ahead.
I keep cutting you off.
No, I want this.
And that was something that comes up a lot with us in WWPT because CIAC and NFHS collaborate with us a lot. Uh-huh. And me and Henry, after the prep game where Staples beat prep by 1 point, we might have been a little too biased per se, but we got an email from CIAC the next morning. Yeah. Completely valid, totally understand. But we had no idea that we were on NFHS. And we were. We had no idea. If we were warned, we might have toned it back a little bit. But yeah, we were a little Staples biased in that one. But it just makes it a lot more fun. And I think when the Staples kids are going to listen back to that game, they're going to be like, oh, this is funny.
Because not like, everyone's going to go listen to it. They're like, what happened there?
Yeah. And not even going to lie, I was so biased that the call was just bad, like straight up. Like I think it was Anthony Armentano who had like a pass breakup in the end zone. I called it an interception because I couldn't really see it. And I was like, Anthony Armentano, pass breakup, interception in the end zone. And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, sorry, guys. Pass breakup, my bad. Like totally, like really unprofessional. But it was so much fun. And
no, yeah, yeah. You live through the moments, right? I yes, mean, you yes. live through it. Like you're almost like you're there with the guys, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like I, you know, one cool story. I think I've shared on the air. I will was when the hockey team lost. Mm. So that yeah. was like there was a you know they were playing the number one team in the state, and it was you know and they were like 30 seconds or so away, no, 10 seconds away from winning, and then they died, went overtime, but when it was over, I've been pretty big on trying to get like the exit interview with the coach, just trying like season's over.
Yeah.
Give your yep. final thoughts, right? It's kind of brings up parents like it, kids like it. And I was going to do that, and I walked over to Coach Bond, and he said, hey, before you do this, the guys want to, you know, want to talk to you. So like, I got a chance to go what you did in the locker room, but after, yeah. it was after a loss, but like just to feel with what they were feeling at that moment. That kind of sadness, yes. you know, about the season being over, but also like how good the season was and being there. There's no price to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you experienced that through those people too.
Absolutely.
It's been 100%. Really, really, it's really cool, right?
It is awesome. And you definitely feel the highs and you definitely feel the lows with the teams as well when you're on the sideline, and it's great.
And yeah. I feel like the lows are interesting because they make you appreciate the highs, but also it builds a bond. When you're there, like you went through that together. I mean, a win is a win. And I'll never, and I don't know if you're a Giant fan, but like, I'll never forget when the Giants lost the Super Bowl to the Ravens.
Not that far back of a Giants fan. I definitely am a Giants fan, but my most recent was the helmet catch, like 2011 Super Bowl. So
before that, they played, you know, Collins took the Giants to Super Bowl. Nobody thought they'd be there. Then they got destroyed by the Ravens. But anyway, so when the game was over, the owner of the Giants, Mara, was in the locker room with the guys, right? And he was there, and he was, like, talking to everyone, all that. Then fast forward to the helmet catch, he wasn't around. They asked him why. He goes, well, they didn't need me when they won. They needed me when they lost. So it just kind of puts everything in perspective. Like, we definitely want to be around all these championships. But the thing is, like, we got to be there for everything. Sometimes those interviews are not great, but they are,
Right.
Right? And you make good things. So that's really fun. So, it is a great. So, as we wrap up here, we're going to do some personal stuff. I want people to get annoyed because, you know, you're always like behind the camera. But how would you summarize your high school career and your 4 years of Staples and all of that? Two words about that.
Yeah, I'd say it was definitely very busy, but that was the best part about it. I was doing so much media, and it really was just, I'm so lucky to have been welcomed by the teams and be a part of the athletics program, even though I wasn't really an athlete, but I was really just
soccer,
busy
though, didn't
and
you?
Lucky. Yeah, I played soccer my freshman year. I think I got about 6 minutes of playing time, and I ran cross country and track the rest of the 3 years, but I was not a stud there either. So,
listen, you know, I think we all find our calling, right? At some point, and it's like, and I'm sure you're the same way. Like, you know, the other day, I think not the other day when the baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
They won the award game, right? The semifinal. So because I keep scores for my stats. So when they went into extra innings, I started going live and I'll see some people. So I kept it going live, but that meant that I couldn't get my score sheet updated anymore. So I said, forget it. So I went back home and now it was midnight. I was watching the tape and scoring. My son walks by and says, "Dad, you need help."
But yep, we
do,
yep,
but,
yep.
And I see you at a crazy hours at night, but this is what we love to do, right?
That's like something that a lot of people don't understand. Like after homecoming, I wasn't going to a party. I was going home and I was editing my homecoming edit. And that's like, I would get a text like, "Hey, where are you?" Like, "I'm editing. It's 3 a.m. I'm editing." Like, it's just, and another Batman tie-in right there, you know, yeah. Up late hours, living in the shadows, up at night, you know, saving the city. But
right. But it is. And it's like, it's the, you know, it's what we like to do. It's building your DNA. You can't really explain to anyone. You just love it.
Yeah.
Charlie, it's been so great to have you, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
A few years from now, I hope that, you know, you're doing movies and all that stuff. And I'm going to say, dude, yeah, I worked the field with him one day, you know, we did a podcast.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, I do want to do some quick hit stuff with you, okay?
So absolutely. I'm ready.
Let's start with the first one, because you're a DJ, so you know all our stuff.
Yeah.
Name one guilty pleasure song in your playlist that nobody thinks you would listen to.
Boy, guilty pleasure song. Oh, boy. I'm going to have to go. All right, I'll go for a recent one, and I'm going to say the new Pharrell song from the Despicable Me movie. I don't know. I just think it's fire. It's kind of basic. It's whatever. Kind of childish, but it's fire. Yeah,
love it. I mean, I tell you, I love animation movies so much.
Yes.
I'm already planning to see
Spider-Verse movies, my favorites of all time. Insane. Insane. Great? And that's another thing where it's like the combination of art and entertainment. Perfect.
And it's funny because, you know, when the kids were younger, I thought, well, I'm watching this because the kids. Now they're in college. I'm already playing Despicable Me 4. I'm already playing Inside and Out. Like, dude, I'm going to be in all these movies.
Absolutely.
Because I think, like, the humor is great. I mean, the editing is great. Like I said, like, one of the movies, because, you know, I do a lot of music on the side, too, was Rio. Because Rio had a lot of Brazilian music.
Right.
So I'm watching that movie the whole time and thinking about the music. And then when I walked out, my first comment, it was, my mom's like, "Oh, the music was amazing." She goes, "What? The music was great." She goes, "Music? Did you watch the movie?" I said, "No, the movie was great, but the music, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at things artistically, right? Because
yes.
Music is my art, so that's the kind of thing, right? It's really cool.
And Across the Spider-Verse, the movie, you can screenshot any frame. It's a wallpaper. It's amazing. Love those movies so much.
So say that again. You can do what?
You can screenshot any frame from Across the Spider-Verse and you can put it on your computer as a wallpaper. That movie is just visually incredible. And the fact that it's animation is especially huge. Yeah.
And Flowers is one of the great songs of Post Malone.
Oh, yeah.
That move for this. Yeah. All right. So what's your favorite social media platform?
I'm going to say, I feel like Instagram is such the basic answer, but I feel like I have to go Instagram just because it encapsulates all of it. Instagram has their own TikTok feature. Instagram has their own Twitter feature now with Threads or whatever it is. And then Instagram has your classic photos posting. So I'll go Instagram just because it encapsulates and has the stories like Snapchat. So I'll go Instagram just because it encapsulates everything. Yeah.
Fair. Okay. What is the last series you binge watched?
I am not a shows guy. I know. I really have to do more show watching, but the last series I binge watched was Breaking Bad, and it was because I had COVID, and I don't really have the time for shows, and I don't have the attention span for shows. I want to try and get into more binge watching shows this summer, but Breaking Bad was the last show I binge watched. Love Breaking Bad so much. It's awesome.
I can talk hours just about that show. You know that the best rated episode ever is Osman, whatever.
Ozymandias, it's a 10 on IMDb or something like that, like something crazy.
Perfect show. No question. So now, from this, watch Better Call Saul, but watch Kaleidoscope. From an artistic standpoint, like I said, it's not like the storyline is what the storyline is, but from you watch it once, change one. And like they're talking about about, you know, maybe 300 or 400 combinations. There's no way you can watch all of it, but it's the episodes like blue, red, white, whatever. So watch once, change one, and then you'll be okay, how did that happen?
Definitely will look at that. It sounds like an awesome show.
How did that happen? And it's the guy from Breaking Bad, Gus Fring, he's on it.
Right, yes,
there
yes,
you
yes,
go.
Yes,
so
yes,
you're going to like it right off the bat, you're a Breaking Bad fan. All right, what is your favorite place you visited or vacationed? And what was it about it?
I really loved, my grandparents used to live in Arizona, and I really loved going there because they lived on a golf course, which was kind of in the middle of nowhere, but they lived on a golf course, and there was just this breathtaking view of Four Peaks Mountains, and it's just awesome because me, my dad, and my brother would always go out on the golf course, like, after hours, like, once all the golfers are done so we don't get hit, obviously, but and just, like, throw the football out with, like, mountains surrounding us, like, on the golf course. It's perfect green, like, well-kept. It's in Arizona, so it's warm. It's dry. And that is definitely, it's a very basic answer because it's where my grandparents live, but it's just such a core memory being out on the golf course with my brother and my dad.
It's funny you said core memory. Right? It's a family memory, you, your dad, and your brother. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. What's the coolest thing you have in your room?
Great question. I would say it's probably not the coolest, but it's definitely one of my favorite things is my fourth grade book fair Minecraft poster. If you're watching and you went to Westport Public Schools, you know what I'm talking about, but it's just like a cool poster. Yeah.
So it's Minecraft poster. Yes. Did you get into Minecraft a lot?
I love Minecraft so much. It's definitely my favorite game of all time. I've been playing it recently over the summer too, just like as a wind down after I'm done with all the work during the day. But yeah.
I find that game, I kind of tend to stay with the sports video game, except for Mario Kart, my favorite of all time. And I think everyone's just a standard answer for everyone, right?
Yeah.
We as a family play Mario Kart all the time, very competitive at home. It's phenomenal. But Minecraft, I never got into it because it's like, it's about building stuff, right? It's about creating an environment. It takes a lot of work to do that.
I agree. And I don't think I would have the grades in school that I had if it weren't for Minecraft. And that might sound crazy, but it teaches you the grinding. Like I had to learn the crafting recipes in Minecraft when I first started out. You have to learn how to get iron, how to get diamonds. You have to learn so much from Minecraft. And I think it's not only helped out my memory a lot, but also just helped out my grades and my work ethic and stuff. So yeah.
And it's interesting you say that because, you know, as a parent, I always felt like, you know, you go through people that have different, let's say things they talk about. Oh, you know, this kid, you know, I don't want my kid to be on the computer or whatever for a long time. I do feel though that when you find something like Minecraft that you enjoyed, the fact that you were allowed to continue that kind of benefited other things because that was just your comfortable space to be.
Yes.
In.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So that's really cool that you share that. That's cool.
That's
really cool. Yeah. All right. What is your go-to midnight snack?
I'm a big cereal at night guy. My favorite, I probably have to say Frosted Flakes, but I think we don't typically have that at home just because, you know, it's not the most healthy. But I'll typically go for like Fruit Loops. I know it's not much more healthy, but I don't know. I'll just go for like, if I'm playing Minecraft at night with my friends, I'm like, yeah, guys, I'm hungry, I'll be right back. I'll come back with a bowl of Fruit Loops. So
that's great. Yeah. Like, you know, for me, because you stay up late, that's why, because I knew it was a big question for you. Yeah. You're going to have a midnight snack. Like, for me, I like Rice Krispie Treats.
Nice.
That's like, awesome. What? Yeah, I've got a cup of coffee. Christ, like, what kind of combination is that? Like,
no, that sounds good. That sounds amazing. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. So last one here. If you could go back. Oh, no, before that.
Okay.
This is a favorite high school moment, not related to sports.
Not related to sports.
Your favorite high school moment, classroom, whatever, not related to sports.
I got to say, I'm going to have to say that midnight night where we were doing jewelry stuff with Mr. Heider. I think it was me, Mr. Heider, and Henry. And I think just being in the studio, grinding away at the jewelry stuff, the jewelry award stuff. I think that would definitely be a favorite moment. That's awesome. Not sports related. There's a lot that's sports related, but it's hard to choose one that's not. Yeah.
Like, it's sports, you're going to go to a championship.
Yeah, definitely made me think about that or not.
Okay. All right. And then last one here. If you could go back and relive one day in your life, which day would that be? You have to think about that for a little bit. You can either relive the day or you can watch that day happen. What would it be?
Gotcha. It's a very, very tough question.
There's no perfect answer. But
yeah, there's definitely no perfect answer. I would probably say, you know, I'll go back and I'll watch the day, the first YouTube video day, because I think it was a really fun day.
The one with Avery and
with Avery and Jaden and my brother. I think it was just a really fun day just because we were having us and the Muellers, we have a pretty close family relationship because we live across the street and I've grown up with Avery, I've grown up with Jaden, and same with my brother. So I think we were barbecuing that night and I was just like, hey, I got the YouTube channel now. I'd been begging for the YouTube channel for so many years for my dad and he finally let me get one. So I was like, hey, I got the YouTube channel now. Let's make the first video. And it was just a lot of fun to film the trick shots. And yeah, I'd say that'd be a great day to relive.
cool, right?
Yeah.
And think about that. It's like, and people think, oh, it has to be. No, it could be like a simple day. They maybe have a nice dinner. It doesn't matter. It's what sticks to your mind, like that memory. Memory, right?
Yes, definitely. Stick with you absolutely. Forever. Absolutely. Yeah.
Listen, Charlie, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me. Really, what Prep Zone has done this year covering the Staples sports is you guys have done such a great job, and we're blessed to have you guys. The Staples community is blessed to have you guys covering us. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, you know, don't be a stranger when you come back.
Of course.
Let's find out year one, how it went. Because it's like, I'm very interested to know about the media and how all that stuff goes and how that does. So we'd love to, you know, like somewhere when you're here, hopefully you're back in town, you know, let's do it again. You know, let's find out how everything went, you know.
Absolutely.
That would be a lot of fun. But again, best of luck.
Thank you.
Syracuse.
You as well.
Thanks so much, Charlie. thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.